Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini Show. The show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where we ask, what is the Biden robot up to? Oh, I assure you, no one is above the law ever. Oh, I changed my mind. I'm going to give my son a full pardon. And please pay attention to these very specific dates outlined herein. The blues and rhinos are on their way out, my darlings, and they are loading up their sins. And what the heck is going on in South Korea? Will someone fill me in? These folks in Seoul, they have their dumplings in a spin. And what about all those celebs fleeing USA on their private jets? Oh yes, they're on Epstein's list. How much more obvious does it get? And the question that irks us at work and at home, how to deal with the fallout that's coming from the manufacture and distribution of adrenochrome. Welcome back, Martini Heads. I love you. Mwah, mwah. It is lovely to be with you again. If you're joining us for the first time, you very brave people, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, my darlings, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. Martini Heads, we come from all walks of life, all over America and beyond, but what we have in common is this. What do we have in common, Ani? I think I could sum it up by saying sovereignty of soul. We believe we are sovereign beings, individualized manifestations of a supreme cosmic intelligence, and that we're currently experiencing as humans on Earth. We believe in life eternal. We've probably had many other space adventures on many other planets. But here we are, experiencing on Earth. How wonderful is that? Our ideology is libertarian, I would say. Although, of course, we all vote for Team Unity for the future of America. But we're all essentially spirit-centered humanists. We all believe in something greater than ourselves. And we know that America has a sacred purpose to fulfill. And we Martini Heads believe that MAGA MAHA, Make America Groovy Again, Make America Healthy Again, is the vehicle for our collective advancement and our nation's ascension into higher thought. This was written many, many years ago in the stars, long before anybody who was not Native American knew that the Americas really existed. So what we have in common is this belief that, as mysterious as we believe supreme cosmic intelligence is, its manifestation, its fulfillment, the practical application of it, what does it look like? We believe it looks like common sense, like common courtesy, common decency, harmony. We acknowledge we are part of a vast and ever-evolving cosmos, teeming with all manner of life forms, and we find that exciting. But as excited as we are about being part of a colorful space family, we are focused on developments on Mother Earth. That's where we live, you see, darlings. We are focused on dismantling all deep state ideology and machinery and rewarding the architects and chief engineers of New World Order with a one-way trip to Gitmo, all expenses paid. There, they can take a little jump into the unknown and find themselves in an alternate dimension. It's the least we can do for them after their attempt to depopulate the planet by 80% with their fake vaccine bioweapon. And on behalf of martini heads everywhere, I say to these penetrators of maternal units, you messed with the purpose of the Star Spangled. And now, please prepare to be dangled. Does that not sound kind? Darlings, I'm kind to children and animals and humans who deserve it. In general, I am quite a kind person. I'm not kind to sociopaths bent on mass genocide, you see, because they don't respond to that sort of thing. They respond to things that are black and white, like, we hate you, what you did is evil, we are now going to kill you, we don't want you on our planet anymore. That's what they respond to. These are not normal times, my darlings. Mercy is not an option for those self-serving sociopath scumbags. That was a very difficult phrase, actually. Well done, Ani. You know, the evil they brought to our world is unforgivable, and I mean that. They engaged in a long-term plan to separate mankind from its cosmic divine roots by convincing humans they are a blight on the land and undeserving of Mother Earth's gracious hosting. The campaign to erode human self-worth, human sovereignty, was so well calculated and carried out with such stealth and diligence. It convinced about 5 billion people, maybe more, to inject themselves with a bioweapon designed to kill them in multiple phases. And the latest numbers are really quite horrific. If you want sensible, reliable advice on that, I recommend watching videos by Ed Dowd, former BlackRock executive, because we're really looking at something about 900 million deaths and serious side effects, such as myocarditis, these turbo cancers. And at the very low end, at the very low end, which they don't believe we're at the low end, 500 million. And the count goes on, because as I said, it is designed to kill in phases. Look, darlings, to those who got jabbed and you're now experiencing side effects, do not panic. Please reach out to the doctors who are deplatformed for exposing the truth about the jab. The good guys and the good gals have worked diligently to create protocols to help you remove the aggressive elements in the vaccine from your bodies. If you don't know any alternative, you know, if you're all MSM and you don't know where to go, just send me an email. I will send you 5 or 6 links and you will go from there. I also recommend getting some energy work because it's not physical. It's not just physical. It never is. Everything physical is a side effect of the thought process, isn't it? So it never is just physical. There are strange little parasite bots in some of the batches of the vaccines and in just about all of the boosters. And those things are a marvel of madness to behold. The energy work will not only set your light body back to manufacturer's default settings, it will boost your immunity and support any work the medical doctors do to get rid of these spike proteins and whatever. Look, when I started working on vaxxed people back in 2019, even though I knew the agenda, I knew what was going on, I wasn't totally prepared for what I actually saw in people's bodies. I've talked about this quite a few times, but not recently. People who have been vaxxed and especially vaxxed and boosted, when they would come and lay on my table, and you know, I do energy work, the lights are out, it's dark, I can see the aura, I can see inside the body. And my gosh, I saw these little tiny sets of parasites. My friend who's a techie calls them nanobots. To me, they're just little parasites, and they were self-replicating. And when I saw these inside people, they were building pathways. And so I spoke to them. They have a hive mind, but they did respond. What the heck are you doing? What are you doing in there? Oh, we're building a conduit. What do you mean? Well, we're building an alternative. We're building like a pathway to receive information. Why? So that this unit can be controlled by the information that is transmitted. Now, I was a perceptual engineer back in the day myself. I know everything that's going on and why and how this was done. But even I wasn't prepared for this level of technology to be found in people's bodies. And it totally terrified me. And for about 3 seconds, because, you know, we learn to breathe and not be terrified. But it was, let's be honest, it was terrifying to think that there's millions of people running around with these things in them. It's like the worst science fiction movie ever. You know what gets rid of them? I mean, I'm all about supporting the physical body. Please do that. Go to Dr. Tenpenny's site and, you know, go to all these doctors who spoke out against it. There's a lot of information there. But the only thing that's going to rewrite the program that they are attempting to put into your body is the program that is attempting to disconnect you from your intuition, your connection with your divinity, to make right and good choices. So the only way to overwrite this is to reinstall your sense of cosmic divinity, whatever you feel that you are part of in creation. And if you're an atheist and you don't believe that you belong to something greater, you say that you belong to creation, Mother Earth. You are. I'm not asking you to submit yourself to some higher deity. I certainly don't think that way. But we are part of a supreme cosmic intelligence. That is our root, our source, and our power. And focusing on I am as God created me, I am as source created me, I am as perfect as the moment of my creation. That's what overwrites the nanobot program, the little parasite program. They die because no one can look in the face of the Lord and flip him off, or flip it off, I should say, with a capital I. God comes before physical things and therefore comes before gender. You know, what we're facing is so horrific. I don't even have vocabulary for it. Anyway, once again, I got off track. Welcome to the show, everyone. On today's show, we have Quack, questions, answers, and comments. A chance for you, the people, to share all the things that give you the creeples. And after Quack, we will probably have a little pat of poetry where, despite receiving many cease and desist letters, I will continue to share my latest masterpieces of poetry. Poetry so awesome that my only rival is the late great Vogon poet laureate, Tedros Tirios. And for those of you who haven't seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and basked in the suicidal glow of Vogon poetry, which is so dreadful it makes my stuff look good, what is the matter with you? The premise of this story is fantastic. Planet Earth is destroyed to make room for an intergalactic highway. You see, the Vogon Empire did send the paperwork in, but the Earth bureaucrats didn't think it was serious or whatever. So anyway, the day came and went, Earth is blown up, and the only human left is an Englishman, of course, in his pajamas, who's named Arthur Dent, who happens to have an alien friend in human form called Ford Prefect. Yep, you know, like that car back in the 50s. And both of them escape the destruction and they start their cosmic space adventures. I mean, what's not to like, people? It's a jolly good romp and a jolly good use of your recreational reading time. You can feel good about it, but warning, there is a cocktail in the show called the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster. It is revolting. Do not attempt to create it. Do not drink it. You will puke at one end and something terrible will happen at the other end. It is disgusting beyond words. Enough said. Don't fall for it. Moving on, after my poem, which I will inflict upon you, we will visit awesome American civics and history and end with the cocktail of the day, which is always my favorite part. And speaking of cocktails, let me take a sip of my drinky poo to see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings. Don't go away. Sipping is happening. I do declare, Missy, I can easily live with that one. That is rather a nice drinky poo. More about that towards the end of the show, because darlings, metaphysical martini. It's where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits. And what a divine combination that is. Yes, indeed. All right, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's get on with the show. We spared all expense to bring you amazing sound effects. Let's start with Quack. If you would like to share the nuanced nuggets of wisdom from your noggins with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, Arnie@arnieavadisian.com, or use snail mail and send your postcards to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And please, por favor, let me know if and how you wish to be identified. Should I choose your missive to share with the galaxy, or I shall refer to you as Omit Personal Details. Alrighty, darlings, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Oh, a shaky shaky, a shaky shaky, la 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 la. What should we do? Let's pick this one. Yes. Our first missive is from Daru, interesting name, who is currently vacationing in Tenerife. Lovely, lovely. Probably a lot warmer than it is in Northern Oregon, where it's currently about 33. And Daru asks, Arnie, can you put the Ukraine situation in a nutshell for me? And also, how did these people get away with deceiving American people for so long? In my country, we are always taught Americans are the biggest. Well, we are the biggest. We're working on that. The brightest. Well, we will be again when we work on not being big. And the best with everything new all the time. Why? And he writes quite a long missive here, but he America, why did you fall for it? Is what Daru is asking. If you really want to know about Ukraine, you should go to Tucker's interview with Putin. But in 2014, under Obama, the CIA and a couple of other departments destabilized Ukraine. They took over during the 2013 to 2014 uprising, and they installed their own puppet regime, and they turned Ukraine into a den of criminals, really, through racketeering and money laundering. I think another term for it is offshore banking, but it's offshore banking of a very dark nature. And the last 10 years, they've been covering it up. The Obamas, the Clintons, all the people who are the minions of the deep state, they've been covering it up by any means necessary. And they have woven webs of deceit over and over. Even they don't remember anymore what they did and what they didn't do. All of this mess is because of the deep state was trumped by Trump, and now they're being exposed, and they will do anything not to be exposed. So, you know, that's the reason things have been mad. That's why they accuse Trump of being a Russian spy or a Russian asset. And they tried to make it so that he couldn't talk to Putin. Ooh, no. That's why they impeached him, supposedly over a phone call to Ukraine. And that's why the deep state are putting all their money into arming, funding, defending, corrupting, ruining the Ukraine. They're willing to start Armageddon over Ukraine because they'd rather die, I guess, unless their off-world people come and take them away. They'd rather die than be exposed. All the insanity that the swamp has unleashed over the last decade is because they're terrified that their crimes will be exposed. That's it. That's it. And most of these crimes, well, a great many of these crimes, the bulk of this crime was moved to Ukraine because then it's outside the scope of US oversight. So you want to know? Start in 2014. When, you know, Hunter's pardon starts in 2014. Very specific. I believe that's when he was on the board of directors for something called Burisma, something like that. You know, this has always been a part of a greater effort to destroy America and to make it a New World Order outpost. The soul that originally came in for Barack Obama was a placeholder, a good guy, that was supposed to help stabilize things for 10 years while we caught up with the ascension progress process, because Earth was, well, a generation late with its ascension homework. But I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I think that they got rid of him. And I don't think Obama is the Obama now. But that soul that came in, we had high hopes for. But the deep state, as I said, is an unspeakable evil. They will do anything. They probably killed him and cloned him, and who knows what it is now. But, you know, it's not the soul that came in. You have to look back, I think, over the last, I don't know, 16 years, whatever, and take a look at the concerted effort these people made to destroy America. Now, we know that that's been going on since JFK Sr. was murdered. We know that. But when the fake Obama and the Clintons got together, it really became, they sat down and they made a list of how they're going to destroy America. So how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, of course, you install ghosts in the government, rogue operators, if you want to call them that. I think Comey was probably a good example. You make sure that you have people leaking classified documents, especially military intelligence. Then you do what you can to compromise your military by cutting the funding. And then you tell the top brass, the generals, marshals, admirals, or whatever, the top ranking people, you don't really have any control over your people. What we'd like to do is start bringing in mentally challenged people who wish to change their gender. And we'd like to bring them in, and we'd like to pay for their surgeries and keep them in the army, even though they're not actually deployable, because you're not deployable if you need psychiatric care and medication, which you need both of those things if you are transitioning. So, you know, you get the idea on that one. You take a look at NASA and you see what you can do to compromise them. You start to terrorize the honorable people in government. And you start this thing where you grant people special access to certain things, if I presumably they pay enough. And then you go into the NSA and you see what you can do to compromise them, expose them, make it so that they're not effective anymore. Now what you've got to do is you've got to take a look at your libertarian and conservative base and see what you can do to weaken that. And while all that is festering in the background, you flood the country with illegals and their drugs and their criminal activities and more drugs and more criminal activities. You open all the borders and you give them money while your own citizens starve in tents at the side of the freeway, because the cost of living since 2020 has quadrupled. And then you make sure that you also fund terrorism, because that's really important. You create things like ISIS. Did they ever exist? I mean, you just take these things, you go out and you find these rogue operations, and the CIA just gives them all this money and says, oh, we'll train you to be effective. Then you make sure that North Korea and Iran get uranium so that you can give them nuclear weapons. And then you supply them with whatever they need. And then you take a look at the Supreme Court and you start to figure out how you can dissect that. And Barack was very, very good at all of that. And into New World Order, you know. We take a look at Hillary's record. You know, both of them together, they have brought us to the brink of World War III. They wanted to destroy the Constitution. They say revise the Constitution. No. The Constitution is all about sovereignty. If it's not about sovereignty, it's not about anything, and it's worthless. They want to control the population. That was what COVID was all about in any way possible, but certainly it's always been on the books to have this, you know, this contagion that was going to wipe out the world. Then you want to go in directly and stop the people being able to defend themselves should the government come to their door and try to drag them away and put them in quarantine camps. The only way you can do that to an American is not to allow guns. Well, you know, good luck with that. It is never going to happen. And even when guns, if you were to ban guns in America, we would still shoot you if you came to our door. What else do you do? Of course, the censorship. You destroy opposing views. You take over MSM. It's an echo chamber now. And it is perfect because then you say, oh, you get the people to figure out that the views, you get them to believe that the views of the minority are the views of the majority. And then you continue to cull all the good and honorable people in government. And then you go out of your way to find corruptible people that you could put in the Supreme Court. And then you continue to open borders. All the while making sure that you're starving people, you're absolutely murdering the economy. I think I've said enough. You know, this deep state is a big rotten egg, Mr. Daru. I'm assuming, actually, that you are male. You might be female. Daru, of either gender. The deep state is a big rotten egg. And all but the feeblest of minds can sense the putrefaction at this point. Daru, enjoy your vacation in Tenerife and have a cocktail for me. What else is in the fishbowl today? Here's one from Pinto Pete. And I remember this one because Pinto Pete lives in Corsicana, Texas. And that's the place that they make that excellent fruitcake. And it's called the Collins Street Bakery. In my opinion, the best fruitcake in America, next to me. I'm definitely the top fruitcake in America, but the Collins Street Bakery in Corsicana, Texas makes the best fruitcake in America. Anyway, Pinto Pete writes, why do foreigners own so much American agricultural land? I know the answer to this. Do you know why I know the answer to this, Pinto Pete? Because RFK explained it beautifully in a video that I watched a couple of weeks ago. And if this old woman can remember what he said, it goes something like this. Let me have a sip of my drink. I remember so much more when I drink sherry. I drink sherry or any cocktail and I know things. Hold on, darlings. Yes, it's coming to me now. It's here. It goes something like this. So it's the fault of factory farming. And it has to do with hogs, at least with the Chinese foreign interests. So in a nutshell, Big Ag comes along, and instead of raising hogs on land, they raise them in big warehouses. So what this does is it makes more pigs, and more pigs means more money, but it also causes a glut in pork. So pork goes from 60 cents a pound to 2 cents per pound or kilo, whatever. And then it puts all the small hog farmers out of business, and they have to sell their hog farms unless they consent to work as feudal slaves for the big warehouse people and convert their land into big warehouses and use Big Ag methods and buy everything from Big Ag. It's like, I sold my soul to the company store. You know, it's that kind of scenario. And RFK, God bless him, describes them as serfs living the feudal life on their own land. And this has to stop. Because, well, number one, factory farmed animals are fragile, susceptible to all manner of disease when they're cloistered together in these warehouses. They have to be injected with antibiotics and Lord only knows what else just to stay alive. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really want to put that meat in our bodies when there are feral hogs running wild all over Texas? Anyway, what does this have to do with the Chinese owning it? The companies that build all these warehouses, I think they're called Murphys. They build all these warehouses. They get all these pigs. They take over all this land. And then they sell it to the Chinese. And now the Chinese has our agricultural land, which isn't actually being used for agriculture. It's being used to make pig meat. These pigs are so fragile, they can't even have sex to reproduce. They have to be carefully handled, which in itself is a dreadful visual. You know, factory farmed pork has the same frequency as arthritis. I kid you not. Even Edgar Casey will back me up on this. If you want pork, if you want the wild free roaming boar or hog meat, that's what you want, not the ultra processed and heavily injected factory farm variety with their, you know, artificially inseminated and weakened immune systems, and the whole process is just revolting. You know, I'm a carnivore. I love a bit of bacon, but I refuse to eat a factory farmed pig. The good stuff is expensive, but we are going to have to make choices to make America healthy again. And factory farming at this level definitely has to go away. So America, let's stand up and avoid the slow suicide scenario. It's way past time to make things right. And thank you to Pinto Pete and his performing Pinto Beans for making us aware of these issues. And thank God I watched that video from RFK the other day. I'm really looking into all the land that not just Bill Gates is buying, but all the foreign interests are buying, and why. Because I really do believe we as a nation have to go back to the American dream, where the steel worker was making $28 an hour and supporting his entire family, and everybody had a kitchen garden, and we were as self-sufficient as it was possible to be. And that's where we are going on to next. Shall we take another question? Will we have time? I've been pontificating like a pontiff. Oh, let's just do it. Let's see how far we get. Let's do it. This is from Tyrone. And Tyrone lives in Buffalo Grove, Chicago. And Tyrone says, just this morning, the CEO of United Healthcare was shot by an assassin with a silencer. Any comments? Well, Tyrone, I can comment that it wasn't me. and that's really all I know for now. An assassin shot the CEO of United Healthcare with an alleged silencer in Manhattan today. And the news says Tim Walz just took to social media to express his condolences. Did he? Oh, his insurance company is based out of Walz's home state of Minnesota. Well, I think we all understand that Big Pharma is worth billions. And when you have that kind of money, the games that the boys and girls play at the upper echelons are very, very dangerous. And I do know that United, I know this from somewhere, or maybe I've made this up and somebody will correct me. I believe United Healthcare, the CEO, sold a bunch of stock and didn't tell the shareholders. And, you know, you must always tell the shareholders. So who knows what happened? But I do believe we all need to pray for Robert Kennedy because they're going to try and kill him because he's going to take these people on. He already has taken these people on. But clearly, of course, I mean, clearly there's something more than, you know, to this. But, and it's a big but, many, many suicides have happened in the last 2 months and they've gone unreported. And we're going to see a great many more. To all the people that are actually genuinely committing suicide, as opposed to being suicided, I know this wasn't a suicide, but let's just say death, there's going to be a lot of it. To all the people considering suicide, you know, you can be a whistleblower. And I can assure you, we, the White Hats, will take much better care of you than your corporate overlords will. And your soul will have a much better transition to the other side. And, you know, God's grace is all there is. Lucifer doesn't give grace, but come to our side, spill the beans. Okay, one more question. Thank you, Tyrone, by the way. Chicago is probably the only place that's that's colder than where I am right now. Let's take one more question from the fishbowl before we move on to the other segments. And this is from White Witch Ellen. Ooh, how exciting. And Ellen, thank you for the little card that you sent. That's very, very pretty. And she said, which incense do you use for home clearings where anger is a major issue? Oh my God, a normal metaphysical question. How wonderful. Right, let me answer this. Well, I use benzoin. It is a resin incense. There's two types. There's a black gray one, and then there's a pink one. The pink one is revolting. I don't use it for anything. It has no value to me. But the plain, cheap, common or garden variety gray-black benzoin is wonderful for clearing anger. I use it in corporate stuff. when I'm clearing offices and boardrooms, and when I'm asked to clear a boardroom before a very important meeting, I use benzoin as part of that, just de rigueur. You know, it's just one of those things you have to do to dispel any anger. And then I will maybe spice it up a little bit at the end with a very high grade frankincense, or a much sweeter copal mixed with Palo Santo, to just uplift everybody and put those citrus and woody notes back in the room. Thank you for that question. I really appreciate everybody writing in. So where are we doing? Oh my gosh, Arnie, you talk too much. But you know, what are you going to do? It's a show. I'm supposed to talk. Let's take a look at awesome American civics and history. And today, I don't want to go too deep, but I wanted to focus a little bit on the history of armed conflict, the establishment of the United States has engaged in. And well, since World War II anyway, because World War II, it was only then that America really became a power. Excuse me. And we became a power because we nicked all the, to my American friends, we stole or cajoled all of the scientists and intellectuals on the bad guy side to come over to our side and, you know, and beef up America's power base, which they did. But what I mean by the armed conflicts of the establishment of the United States, I mean this. I'm going to list a whole bunch of conflicts, but most, if not all, of these conflicts involved incentives offered by the CIA and in some cases the FBI or some American establishment within. I know the entire CIA is not corrupt. I know the entire FBI is not corrupt, but there is a dark core in each of those cadres, right? So let's ask ourselves why we sent our people to these places and spent our resources on the following. And if you have any, you know, keep score. Think of it as a little quiz. Because after all, if America is going to be a beacon of spiritual liberty for the whole world, I think we should stay home and make our land the most perfect example. And people will come to us and go, oh my God, America, all bright and shiny and new and harmony, and not go and disrupt other people's lives. But that's not what Americans do. That's what the establishment of the USA engages in. Korea, China, Korean War, 1950 to 1953. Guatemala, 1954. Indonesia, 1958. Cuba, year of my birth, 59 to 61. Guatemala again, back in 1960. Congo, that is a strange place for those who have not been to the Congo. It has an interesting energy to it. If you can actually get there and you're interested in energies, especially some of the darker ones, they exist there on the landmass. I'm not saying that the Congolese are necessarily dark. Laos, 1964 to 1973. Vietnam. Who can forget Vietnam? 1961 to 1973. And then Cambodia, 69. And then Guatemala again. Boy, there must be something really amazing happening in Guatemala that we're back there again in 67. And then remember Grenada? Yep, we landed there in 1983. And then Lebanon, 1983, 1984. We're firing on targets in, you know, Lebanese territories and also, I believe, Syrian territories. And then Libya in 1986. You know, my father had met Gaddafi when he was a young lieutenant. And as a young lieutenant, Gaddafi was horrified by the corruption of the senior officers that he was traveling with. And a conversation that he did have with my father one night over several cups of tea, I believe, was how he was going to reform his country and get all the corrupt bastards out of it and step away from any semblance of a Western banking system. Interesting that. El Salvador, 1980. Nicaragua, 1980. Did we go there for the pupusas? I don't think so. Iran, wow. Woohoo! That was something, and that was 87. Panama, 89. Iraq, That was the Gulf War. That was 91. Kuwait was also 91. Somalia, 93. By the way, a word to the Somalian pirates. I hate the fact that you have disrupted the distribution of high-grade frankincense from your shores. Get it together. I want my stash back. Bosnia, 94. Sudan, 98. Afghanistan, land of the poppy fields. That was 98. What was then Yugoslavia, 99. The Yemen, and where the best myrrh comes from, by the way. Then Iraq, because I believe we did UK and US troops combined. That went 1991 to 2003. Actually, after that, it continued. I think it was 2015 before we all got out of there. Back to Afghanistan, Pakistan, 2007. This is where American troops have landed and done stuff. Somalia again, 2008. Yemen again. Libya again, Syria again, Ukraine, 2014. To the best of my knowledge, this is a complete list. There's probably some covert operations in there that aren't on this list because they're covert operations. But we have to ask, once the American people realize that the American establishment ceased working for them decades ago, I wonder how they will react. Darlings, you have to pay attention to how tax dollars are being used. Clearly, they are not being used to restore our military veterans to health. Clearly, the fragile infrastructure of our three American grids, which could collapse at any moment, is not a priority, but it should be. Clearly, housing the homeless population has not been addressed. Some are mentally ill and need to be cared for in institutions. But we have people with PhDs and people with skills. And people with PhDs and skills out there sleeping in their cars or in cardboard boxes. Money is being laundered out of the country. In plain sight, they're getting up and telling you on television how much they're giving away through the military-industrial complex and also through other channels. And the American citizen just goes, oh dear. And, you know, that was obvious when the army of the naive and the gullible started to fly Ukrainian flags in their yards. I mean, what passes for brains in the minds of those who blindly follow whatever the television spits at them? Why would you not take a step back and say, I drive to work each day and pass hundreds of homeless people in their cheap and poorly insulated tents. The electrical grid collapsed during the last storm. The cost of living has quadrupled since 2020. The US Constitution is under attack. And what do you mean I can't say that on social media just because I disagree with the official narrative? In the UK, peeps are in prison for social media posts, simply expressing their opinions. And I can't wait to see the pushback on that. It will be glorious. Keir Starmer, you wanker, you are going down, boy. But meanwhile, China and Bill Gates of hell are buying up fertile American soil. And why are so many jabbed people falling sick and dropping dead? What about Epstein? Don't you want to know how deep that rabbit hole is? Or did his list of dudettes and dudes he diddled? What about the open borders, encouraging crime by not prosecuting criminals and the whole woke agenda? At some point, my darlings, surely, you must have thought on these things. Or perhaps, since you are okay, it didn't matter what happened to the collective that you feel you're not a part of. I am asking Americans to stand up and not be the laughingstock of the world. I'm asking Americans to read the Constitution, study the Constitution. If you don't understand it, get help understanding it. Study American history and decide what sovereignty means to you. I hope you come to the conclusion that it means everything to you. We are not descended from fearful men or fearful women. We are descendants of the very spirit of liberty. Those who risked all for the right to control their destiny in their own way, in their own time, in their own country. It is a crying shame that we have got to this point, and that we are mocking and ridiculing and spitting upon the people who want to save life, preserve sovereignty. I'd like to share a shortish paragraph with you. It's in the keeping, of course, with the American history. It's from David McCullough's book, 1776. And these are the opening paragraphs, which set the scene quite well, I think. I do recommend this book. If you care for American history, it's one you should have in your collection. Let me get my book and let me share with you. This is towards the end of the book. Washington's troops are a little bit exhausted, and I'll pick it up where Washington's impulse was to push on to Brunswick to destroy enemy supplies there and capture a British pay chest of £70,000, and thereby, he speculated, end the war. But his exhausted army was in no shape for another forced march of 19 miles or another battle. And Green, Knox, and the others talked him out of it, warning of the danger of losing all they had gained by aiming at too much. Thus the army marched north to Somerset Courthouse and, in the days that followed, on to the comparative security of the hilly, wooded country near the village of Morristown for the duration of the winter. The campaign of 1776 had ended with a second astonishing victory. Had Washington been born in the days of idolatry, declared the Pennsylvania Journal, he would be worshipped as a god. If there are spots on his character, they are like the spots on the sun, only discernible by the magnifying powers of a telescope. As Nathaniel Green wrote to Thomas Paine, the two late actions at Trenton and Princeton have put a very different face upon affairs. But as thrilling as the news of Princeton was for the country, coming so quickly after the triumph at Trenton, it was Trenton that meant the most. Trenton and the night crossing of the Delaware that were rightly seen as a great turning point. With the victory at Trenton came the realization that Americans had bested the enemy, bested the fearsome Hessians, the king's detested hirelings, outsmarted them, outfought them, and might so well again. Among some of the British command and some skeptical Americans, what happened at Trenton was seen only as a minor defeat, an aggravation. Oh, nothing of any great consequence when compared to such large-scale British victories of 1776 as the Battle of Brooklyn or the taking of Fort Washington. Trenton was a skirmish, an engagement, they said, not a battle. But some on the British side grudgingly conceded that the rabble must henceforth be regarded with new respect. Colonel William Harcourt, the cavalry officer who had led the capture of Charles Lee, wrote in a letter to his father that though the Americans remained ignorant of military order and large-scale maneuver, they had shown themselves capable of great cunning, great industry, and spirit of enterprise. And while it had been the fashion in this army to treat them in the most contemptible light, they are now becoming a formidable enemy. Measured by the size of its importance to those fighting for the cause of America, those everywhere in the country who saw Washington and his army as the one means of deliverance of American independence and all that was promised by the Declaration of Independence, Trenton was the first great cause for hope, a brave and truly brilliant stroke. From the last week of August to the last week of December, the year 1776, had been as dark a time as those devoted to the American cause had ever known. Indeed, as dark a time as any in the history of the country. And suddenly, miraculously it seemed, that had changed because of a small band of determined men and their leader. A century later, Sir Otto Trevelyan would write in a classic study of the American Revolution, "It may be doubted whether so small a number of men ever employed so short a space of time with greater and more lasting effects upon the history of the world. And closer to the moment, Abigail Adams wrote to her friend, Mercy Otis Warren, "I am apt to think that our later misfortunes have called out the hidden excellences of our commander-in-chief. Affliction is the good man's shining time," she wrote, quoting a favorite line from the English poet Edward Young. Mercy Warren, the wife of James Warren and an author, would write in her own history of the American Revolution that there were perhaps no people on earth in whom a spirit of enthusiastic zeal is so readily kindled and burns so remarkably as among the Americans. And that was taken from David McCullough's 1776 book. That is the name of the book, 1776. And guess what? It's about the American Revolution. And it is very, very well written. And now, my darlings, I think it's time for a sip of my drinky poo. I haven't been drinking as much as usual lately, which is a good thing. Trying to, you know, lost a bit of weight lately, feeling good, looking good. So I have to say, I do look forward to every other Wednesday when I can actually make a cocktail and sip it and feel good about it. And now it's time for a little pat of poetry. Yes, folks. After a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo. Today's offering is this little something I wrote for my latest monthly message newsletter, which comes out on the first Monday of each month. If you go to my website on the opening page, you can sign up for it. And this offering is called "The Beast is Dead." So here we go. The beast is dead. We took its head. The snout and tail were cremated. We did what we said. We took its street cred. Its premises are now vacated. Ignore the kerfuffle as the good guys reshuffle after years of being baited and hated. So many scuffles with no chocolate truffles, but the people are no longer sedated. We have much work ahead for the months to come. We'll see the wizard throw back the curtain. If we stay true to the plan and then some, America's glorious rebirth is for certain. Well, you know, a little something. I write a lot of poetry. I write 5 or 6 a day. I love words. I open a dictionary and I pick a word and I write a poem around it. It's just an exercise. Some of them are good. Some of them are just mere, you know, exercises. I want to talk a little bit about my Christmas discounts, if you don't mind. And if you do mind, go make yourselves a cup of tea or a cocktail. I do these discounted gift certificates every year. And this year, my discount runs from November 25th this year, 2024, to January the 6th, Armenian Christmas, 2025. Epiphany for everybody else. And here's how it goes. If you prepay for gift certificates, you get 10% off any service up to $1,000. And then 20% discount on services from $1,001 to $2,500. And if your company's looking for bulk deals of $2,501 or more, just email me, tell me what it is that you want, and I'll come up with the best possible price for you. And all the prepaid gift certificates up to $1,000 are valid for one full year. Anything above that is valid for 18 months. And to be honest, you know, darlings, I'm not too fussy about all of that. If I'm still alive and in business, your gift certificate is good by me. I want to do a little shout out, if I may, to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mystical Wares is your one-stop shopping experience for all things metaphysical, mysterious, products and services. You can also visit them online at mysticalwares.com. Online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Customer service, product knowledge, and energy work all carried out with great aplomb, because when it comes to mysterious shopping, Mystical Wares is da bomb. And jolly nice people they are too, and everything I've ever ordered from them comes beautifully wrapped. So if you can't make it all the way up to the top of Washington State to Mount Vernon on your way to Canada or Alaska, go to mysticalwares.com and shop your little heart out. And Derek Conduit, the owner, operator, is a phenomenal energy worker. And I'm not one to praise, because I'm an energy worker myself, and I reckon I'm pretty darn good. Derek, he's different and quite brilliant. And let him do his thing. You'll be very, very happy. Well, my darlings, I mean, we're getting close to the end of the show, but we're not quite there. And I've had a few requests saying, Arnie, we miss tarot a go-go. Okay, I'll bring it back once in a while, because I'm going to bring back all the old stuff that you liked, but not regularly. Like, you know, once every 5 months we'll do a Plato Chips, or every so often we'll do the Cryptic Mystic. We'll bring them back just for old time's sake. It's like playing an oldie, you know, from the 60s. But I will do a little card pick right now for America's future. I have my tarot cards. You can probably hear me shuffling them in the background. Or maybe you can't. But this is what I'm doing. What am I asking? I'm going to ask how... I want to know what the vibe is going to be in January after the inauguration, because there's no point in asking what the vibe is now. Timelines are clashing. Everybody has a different opinion. No one can complete a thought process. No point in remote viewing into the future, because you'll end up on another planet, because this planet is seriously ill right now. And I'm going to cut the cards. La 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 la. And I'm going to pick a card. Oh my God. Yes. Huzzah. Ooh. Okay, people. I have the Six of Wands. That is the guy on his horse with a laurel leaf on his head and another one on his stick. And he is doing the victory parade. Everything is coming up roses, and the inauguration is going to go great, and Team Unity will save America if the citizens wake up and have the motivation to lend, a helping hand. And now, my darlings, let me finish this delightful drink. Oh, that almost went up my nose. I have now finished my excellent drinky poo. And that always means the end of the show. Thanks to all the magnificent martini heads for writing in and sharing their thoughts with us. I started the show for you, the P.O. play, so we could have healthy, healthy spaces in which to operate. Today's real life cocktail was from a 1947 version of a Trader Vic's cocktail guide, The Bartender's Guide by Trader Vic's. It's called A Widow's Kiss, and here's how you make it. 1 ounce of Calvados, half an ounce of yellow Chartreuse, half an ounce of Benedictine, my favorite liqueur, 2 ounces of classic Angostura bitters. Put it all in a shaker with cracked ice and stir. Do not hard shake. It makes a very big difference. When you have the heavier things like Chartreuse and Benedictine, don't hard shake them, okay? Stir well, but stir gently, and then strain and pour into your favorite chilled cocktail glass. Sip slowly and feel the warmth of the widow's kiss creep up from your toes all the way to the head and beyond. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink, I mean this, one drink, and that doesn't mean you make yourself a double, one drink is all you need. I am Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again. Stay focused on making America groovy, great, and healthy again. And whenever you hit a rough spot, let the spirit inhabit the human. ¶¶
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.